what we're seeing is this huge race forward of everything tech related because of everybody going online and tech companies being able to thrive because they've been ready for it. And I think while we might have got to a sort of X point in by 2030, you know, we're now going to get it in 2022.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. It's Rick Nusky. I'm your host. I'm very, very excited today. I have the wonderful Jan Cavell on the line with me today. And now Jan and I are going to be talking about her wonderful new book called Scale for Success. So welcome to the show, Jan.
Thank you so, so much, Rick. I'm super excited to be here joining you.
Just as I am, I was watching a video of you receiving your new book, and I'd love to, I guess, unwrap the feelings that you were experiencing in a moment. But before we do any of that, Jan, I think it's wise for us, I guess, to give the My Future Business a bit of context about, you know, things like where you're located in the world. Let's start there.
Sure. I'm over in the UK. And always have been. As I was saying to Rick, I have a special fondness for Australia because my son is now an Australian national, so I feel a sort of Australian connection there. Yeah, very strongly. But apart from that, I'm over in the UK and I'm an entrepreneur, or have been, should I say, all my life. I'm now semi-retired. Mm-hmm. But what I've got involved in is writing about entrepreneurs, and I write about them globally. So I write about Australian ones as well as the UK ones. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I just love it. You know, I've met so many wonderful people over with you and all across the world. And, you know, just to talk entrepreneurship all day, I mean, what a wonderful thing to do.
Yes, it is actually quite exciting. You always, yeah. There's always room upstairs to learn a little bit more, isn't there?
There is. And I think, you know, entrepreneurs are this rule unto themselves where they do find it difficult to listen to others, but they will listen to other entrepreneurs. You know,
that is absolutely
true. We learn
true.
Best from each other, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I've been reading through the bio, your bio, and you've had a business of your own. You're obviously being challenged early on when you were starting from your kitchen table. I was wondering if we could go back to the early days and share your entrepreneurial experience from the start.
Sure, of course we can, Rick. I was, firstly, I started by very simply being somebody who hated being employed. Uh-huh. So I had a lot of small micro businesses, really, either with a friend or on my own, doing anything to make a buck, if you like. But I didn't really get into business seriously till I found myself as a single mum. And out of necessity, thought this is going to take a bit more attention than just paying for the food for the day and the rent over the head. I really want a future for kids. Mm-hmm. So I did. I set up on the kitchen table. I'd been dabbling with furniture with my ex-husband and thought that was the way to go. What experience I'd got was very much telephone sales. And so I thought, this is something I can do on the kitchen table, looking after the kids, and at the same time as combining the two and having the best of both worlds and hopefully an income. But I never imagined that I would actually have something that took off as a proper business. I didn't see myself as a proper business person ever.
It felt like, you know, that what do they call it, the imposter syndrome, is that fair?
Yeah, terrible imposter syndrome. I mean, it stayed with me all the time. You know, I remember when I won my first award, and oddly enough, I went with my son to this awards do, and there were people up for various awards, as tends to be. And I was listening to them and thinking, this is a mistake, I shouldn't be here. You know, how soon can we slip out behind the pillars? And then to my complete amazement, you know, everybody was nudging me and saying, you've got to go up there, you know. And I was so amazed. I mean, I made such a prat of myself, I can't tell you, you know. I sort of staggered up to the stairs, tripped over the stairs up to the stage, sort of fell on semi-pushed by the poor woman who was holding out some flowers, you know. And I was like, what? You know, yeah, imposter syndrome or what, it stayed with me.
Yeah, no, look, again, I've gone through your bio, and one of the things that stuck out for me is that you were one of the first 50 women to represent the UK in the European Union. Could you share a little bit about that experience with us?
Of course. It was obviously a huge honour. I got nominated through a women's network I'd been speaking for, and we were tasked, I mean, it was a while ago now, but the 50 of us were tasked with encouraging enterprise and entrepreneurship specifically for women, but not solely for women, mm-hmm. in the UK through schools, colleges, universities, and also to liaise with our colleagues of doing the same thing in other countries. So we sort of whisked off to the European Parliament, which was an experience, and chatted to people doing the same thing in countries like Malta or Albania, or, you know, it was the most extraordinary experience.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I know that you have a pinpoint focus on helping those who are struggling entrepreneurs. And there must be lots of us around at the moment because of the nature of the world we live in. And I noticed on your website you talk about the rapid evolution of robotics and how we're slowly but surely whittling away in our manufacturing and workforces, and never has there been a more important time to be an entrepreneur. Can you tell us a little bit about why you think that's the case?
I think for some time now, there's I have to say, Rick, I know you're good on tech, and can I put my hands up now and say I'm not good on tech? I've learned a lot more than I used to, but you know, I'm still not the world's greatest on tech, but it doesn't stop me reading and being fascinated by it. And I think for a long time now, we have had this huge growth of tech anyway going on, and this move towards robots, as you say, mm-hmm. automation of all sorts, and particularly with something like manufacturing, which I was in, you know, it was something we used to joke about, you know, wouldn't life be easier if we could get robots?
Oh, yeah.
And of course now you can, you know, and robots are always there, and if you can afford them, the more robotics, you know, it takes the whole human element out, which is bliss if you're trying to build that sort of a business, mm-hmm. and great and efficient and everything else. But I think it would have been a much slower thing if it hadn't been for the pandemic.
Yes.
And what we've seen is this huge race forward of everything tech related because of everybody going online, mm-hmm. and tech companies being able to thrive because they've been ready for it. And I think, you know, what we will see increasingly is the AI growth. And while we might have got to a sort of X point in by 2030, mm-hmm. you know, we're now going to get it in 2022. So it's huge. And we combined with the struggle of so many people losing jobs, and, you know, we've all got to adapt, and small businesses are finding it tough, but equally, having a small business is one way to recession-proof yourself, should I say, mm-hmm. a little bit, you know. So yeah. I'm also still encouraging him.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. These are great insights. And if ever was there someone who we should be talking to on the My Future Business Show about insights, it's you. And that's a place we want to go in a moment when we start talking about scaling for success. But more personally, I just want to dig a little bit deeper in terms of, I guess, where you get your motivation from, and who in the world do you look up to as leading entrepreneurs?
Oh, virtually every other entrepreneur. You know, I think they're just all incredible, every single one of them. But no, I came across some particularly amazing entrepreneurs, I guess, writing the book. And, you know, it's hard to single out. It's what we are, because as we'll talk about when it gets to the book, I included 30 entrepreneurs from across the globe in contributions to it, including many from Australia. And one thing I often get asked is, who was your favourite? You know, and they're just so diverse, it's very difficult to pick one out. But I have to say, one person who's in the book who is of course Australian is James Bartle of Outland Denim. And he is incredibly motivating. Oh wow. You know, I have to have him in my top five, definitely.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Now, I look at this and I think to myself, there are times where we go through ups and downs. We don't always win as entrepreneurs. And I really want to dig this out for those who are listening to the show, because this is what this is all about, is about educating, I guess, startup entrepreneurs, those who are struggling at the moment. And what sort of advice would you give to somebody, and what should they do to push through those hard times?
I think, you know, you have to recognize that traditional business planning is now out the window. Mm-hmm. You know, we all used to do these massive great plans and paddle off to the bank with them and, you know, plan the next 10 years. And you can't do that anymore. You know, you might have a 10-year vision of what you'd like to impact on the world, mm-hmm. but it's not the same as a business plan, because things are changing far too fast. You know, so I think you've got to be hugely, hugely adaptable. You've got to be hugely, hugely supportive of your people, because they need it. Mm-hmm. And that means you've got to look after yourself. I think those would be my top three tips. You know, we're very given to forgetting looking after ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so important, because we can't support the other people in our small businesses unless actually we take care of us.
Yeah, that's great insight. Thank you for sharing again. Now, I'd love to talk about, going back to motivation, what motivated you to write this book, this wonderful book called Scale for Success? Where did this all come from?
Well, it came from a fact, sort of a mixture of facts, whole hodgepodge of facts there. I've been writing towards the end of the years I was in business, and I should just say here that I'd had this business which did phenomenally well for quite a period of time, and then I was trying to take it to the big next leap up to sort of where you go from a couple of multi-millions where I was, yep, to up right up to 10 million, and yep, it wouldn't do it. Oh my goodness, I banged that my head against that wall.
You can't so say you didn't try.
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't, but I was probably near unconscious with exhaustion. So yeah, I know all about the pitfalls of trying to grow an unscalable business. And so when I retired and started to take things easier, I missed entrepreneurship. B, I missed writing, because I'd been writing for a business publication over here called Real Business. And see, I kept started to think, if you're that familiar about the don't do's, can you actually write a book about the don't do's, you know? And I mulled that over for a summer, actually thinking, you know, is it a cheek or not? And I thought, no, actually, you know, it does help people hearing about, you know, the failures that we all make, the massive cock-ups, to put too fine a point on it, you know, which we all do along the way. And that's one of the great ways of learning, if you can be fairly candid about this, I think. And you put that together with the expert voices, which I accumulated to pass on their knowledge in the book. And, you know, hopefully you've got something really useful to the people who are struggling or who are wanting to build a business and are not struggling. But either way, if they want to push on, hopefully they'll find inspiration and they'll find useful knowledge, mostly from the people who contributed, but maybe a little from me as well.
Absolutely, for sure. I wonder, there's a couple of questions that are streaming out of this, last passage of conversation. I'm wondering if you can share with us, how do you get access to all of these wonderful entrepreneurs?
Well, I had a few, to be honest, from a high growth club I was in London. So that was a sort of starting point. And when I started writing, I got involved with a project and realized about two-thirds of the way through, I guess, you know, that what was I going to do with it? You know, I've had no clue about publishing or self-publishing or anything else. And so over Christmas, not the Christmas that's just gone, the one before, I sent it off to Bloomsbury because Bloomsbury's a sort of dream publisher, you know, here with Harry Potter and the Legacy and all that, and thought, well, at least I can learn a bit more if I ever hear from him again. And this is where I've been so unbelievably lucky, you know, because before New Year hit, they rang and said, would you like to come in for a meeting? So off I went, thinking, well, you know, this is an experience. You know, alone, this was worth getting this far for, you know, to actually go to their offices and, you know, everything else. But, so that was pretty amazing. But, they said, as publishers tend to do, you know, we quite like it, but we'd like a few changes. And one of the changes they wanted was for it to be more of a global thing, because, of course, they shared their books and published books in Australia and the US as well. So that meant little me, not heard of by anybody, trying to approach people, you know, over with you and in the US saying, please talk to me. So it was lucky I had some sales skills, I think, because it was almost a telephone sales job to get past a gatekeeper say, please talk to me. And they were wonderful.
Now, when you speak to entrepreneurs, I wonder, Jan, is there a common thread? What are some of the common things that you hear above everything else?
It was interesting pulling it together at the end and looking at that, actually. And they did, you know, have distinct commonalities about their views and their approach to business and everything else. I saw lots of things. I saw a big shift since probably even my day when I was socializing, because there was a sort of gap of 4 or 5 years in between. Mm-hmm. There's this big shift towards purpose-driven businesses, which is lovely. So that's something I found that, which I've since known from backup, actual proper serious research, because mm-hmm. I looked into it for an article, that a lot of entrepreneurs, a really high proportion of entrepreneurs, have some sort of trauma in childhood. Saying, you know, major nasties or anything, but they'll have something that, be it sort of physically or mentally or money-wise with their parents or whatever, that sets them on a road to thinking, you know, I can survive this. I can do it. I will do it my way. You know, I will push on. Mm-hmm. And while that doesn't apply to all of them, you know, you are talking about a noticeable amount, which is quite interesting, I think.
That is very, very interesting for sure. Mm-hmm. I wonder, is everybody born an entrepreneur that you've spoken with, or is there anyone
nature
that's been self-turned? Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness. I tend to go with nature, because I think, or could it be nature topped up with something in childhood, perhaps? Mm-hmm. I think you have to be so very focused and so very determined to want to do it badly enough. You know, you hear people saying, oh, well, I'm starting a business and I'm an entrepreneur, when really they're just dabbling in an Instagram account or something on the side, or which is a great skill and one I don't have. I have a hasten to add, but it's not what I would necessarily call an entrepreneur. They think that being an entrepreneur means they're going to be rich tomorrow, and you know they're not going to make it. That's not what it's about. It's got to take some real push.
What do you think it is about it? Do you think it's about value-driven first, or?
I think everybody I spoke to, I ask in the book, mm-hmm. what are people's definitions of success? And with that, you got some common themes. I think very few people, in fact, most people said, of course, it isn't money. And then they would justify it by saying, but it's some of the things that having the money brings, which is slightly different. They are not, on the whole, people who just dream of wealth, but they do dream of freedom. A lot of them have a desire to be free from not working for other people onwards. They also have, they are very focused on setting a timeline that they're going to do their business for, and then buy back the freedom, which of course doesn't always work, you have to be mm-hmm. successful to do it, but buy back the freedom, you can't get the words out. Buy back
time.
The freedom to have time with your family and mm-hmm. all the things we all love to do.
Yep, absolutely. Is there any time that anybody that you've asked has needed to pivot and change direction in the business?
I think they've all had to be adaptable over the years. And just trying to think off the top of my head. For example, if we go back to James Bartle, mm-hmm. he spent a long time doing anything to bring some money in while he researched what idea was right for Atlan Denim, which isn't directly pivoting, but it's saved him the trouble of pivoting later, I think.
Yep.
You know, so you've got various different types of pivoting and learning. While you know, you always learn on the job, and you know, you might take one idea business wise, and then think actually it's this section of it that's working, and that's a lot of what does it with growth, isn't it? You've got the definition becomes clearer for your marketing as to what really your offering is and what you should nail, and you drop off all the other dross that isn't really bringing in the extra money.
Yeah, I wonder, you've had the fortunate experience of being connected to so many wonderful individuals in this space, and there would be so many revealing moments, but is there one, I guess, aha moment for you out of all of this that really stands out for you?
For me personally?
Hmm.
I think every time I put a phone down on somebody I'd spoken to, I just, was an aha moment. It was, oh, wow, did I just have that conversation? That was just so amazing. What a fabulous person. How fascinating. Just wow, every time.
Yep.
I really do love it that much.
Now let's talk about the structure of the book if we can, Jan, in terms of Scale for Success and the way it's laid out. Is it a series of questions? How does it flow?
How does it work?
Hmm.
I came up with this curious idea before I'd gone near Bloomsbury. And what I wanted to do, based on my own experiences, was take the reader on this journey, looking at how to progress from 1 to 10 million, but looking at each different major area of business, if you like. So you've got, be it values and vision and that sort of thing, or mm-hmm. the structure, or sales, marketing, financing, the key elements and areas. And I thought, I know what I'll do. Yep. I will match an entrepreneur to each of these elements, so that each entrepreneur has one chapter to chat to me and contribute. Somebody in a kind write-up called it a primer. It's not as educational as that, though I hope people get a lot out of it, but it's not as structured in an educational book, but hopefully it will take the reader right the way through all aspects of business.
And there's certainly lots to consider, isn't there? I wonder,
there is.
Have you naturally been inclined to write and author books? And was it a hard thing to learn?
It was a childhood dream originally to be an author. I was a child who buried her head in books anyway, so it was a natural progression to want to do it, but it got sort of swept away. I wanted to be a journalist at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked it up again by writing for or contributing to this business magazine. And I loved that. By that time, my business was getting to be a nightmare. And this was my escape every week. I got into the writing and I just, it was heavenly. Loved it. And so coming back to it was a great experience. And I think my biggest worry was probably, was I going to do the people justice, because I sound slightly sicky about it. Honestly, I do apologize, but they are truly amazing
yes.
people. They really, really are.
Now, look, it must have been very confronting to face your fears and, you know, wonder about the imposter syndrome, but yet, all that aside, continue to push forward. It's a credit to you, because I know that writing a book is not an easy process. I have authors on the show quite often. I have a special place on the show for authors because of that very reason. How long did it take you, and did you write it in chunks? What was your, I guess, your production process like?
As I said, the first bit I'd written was mainly with UK entrepreneurs. So I was getting this jigsaw laid out of, I think, the five or six sections in the book, and four or five chapters are entrepreneurs per section, as how it works. Mm-hmm. And so this thing was beginning to emerge exactly like a jigsaw with huge, great gaps in it. And so having whizzed through that sort of first chunk and known what I was doing, but without the pressure of a publisher, that bit was quite easy. But then the double whammy of, goodness, this is serious stuff. I'm presenting it to Bloomsbury. They might publish it, you know, became a lot more serious. Coupled with the fact, of course, that I had to fill in my jigsaw and do put on my sales hat and try and persuade entrepreneurs worldwide that I was actually worth talking to. So it became an awful lot slower and more pressurized, you know, after that for a while, but broken up by these amazing conversations that I had. So
there's a lot to be taken away from somebody who's actually walked the path prior to you. And I wonder, for an aspiring author that's coming through the ranks, they may not have as much, life experience, sales experience, any experience writing a book. Where should they start, and what should they be focusing on, Jen?
I think writing for magazines is a really good place to start, actually. I mean, you know, you can start with networking groups, often will allow you to blog, things like that. Mm-hmm. You begin to get to know what works, what gets responses, what your readers like to hear about. You can watch it on Google Trends and see what's working or which articles are getting the highest read results.
Yep.
So articles, I think, are really good. And if you can get on to a publication like I did, you then acquire a proper professional editor. And, of course, you learn while you learn. You know, it's going to the best, which is great. And I'm still in touch with him. And actually, I do mention him in the acknowledgements of the book, because he did wonders. And I'm sure I wouldn't know anything like as much about writing as I would have done without him.
And it just
so I think that's a good tip.
It proves to me that perseverance pays off, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Now, when somebody wants to get their hands on this particular book, there's two parts of this. I'd like to know where they're going to get it, when they can get it, and also if you can also share a bit about your website and what they might find when they visit.
Of course, Rick. Right, okay. When, let's start with when. It's coming out in the UK first, which it's coming out in the 4th of February.
Fantastic.
And then, only 2 weeks. I'm a bit dazed at the moment. And then there's a bit of a gap, because it won't reach Australia till the 2nd of July. So a bit longer wait. They brought the UK, partly because of pandemic and complicated reasons, mm-hmm. but they brought the UK publishing date forward. So we've got this sort of funny gap thing. You know, you can order it from the UK if you want, or you can wait till it comes to Australia in person.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's obviously at Amazon, you can order it from Bloomsbury. And all good bookshops, as they say.
Is it?
I can't believe I'm saying that. Sorry.
Is it something that you can get in like a PDF or Kindle at all?
You can get it in Kindle if you're. But it is because it's Bloomsbury aren't particularly keen. I don't think I'm running myself into deep water here. You can tell. the Kindle is quite pricey.
Yes. Okay.
Shall I stop there?
Yeah, no, I understand.
They do love you to buy a good hardback.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, that's all fine and dandy. Now, when people get to your website, I've been through it and I've seen a lot of your inspirational quotes and references to some pretty predominant names in the industry and entrepreneurs. Could you share a little bit about your website and what people will find when they get there?
Of course I can. My website is nice and easy to find, because it's just my name, which is jancavell.co.uk. And what I do when I'm not writing a book is I still write. I write about entrepreneurs all around the world, again, matching the book if you like, but I love to talk to entrepreneurs in Australia or anywhere else. And wonderful. I write about their opinions and profiles and do interviews. And, you know, so if anybody's got a business that would like a bit of extra publicity, you're welcome to get in touch with me.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, you know, I just love to talk to entrepreneurs and write about them.
I can tell because you light up when you talk about this topic. It's very apparent. Now, is there a volume two, do you think? What's happening for you next?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, partly because the UK publishing date was brought forward. It's caught me a bit on the hop because I thought I'd know the answer to that by the time it got to publishing. So I'm cheating. I'm saying I will calm down and if need be making a decision after the Australian one. I'd like to come out to Australia very much and see my son and, you know, actually meet some of the people from Australia involved maybe and do a bit of talking about it. But we'll have to see with the pandemic. But that's a possibility. But writing to, I don't think I could not write. I'll certainly go on writing the articles, but exactly what book-wise I'll do, I'm not quite sure.
It'll be an inspiration. It'll be an inspirational moment. It'll come to you like a shooting star through the sky, I'm sure.
But the funny thing is, it did with this one, Rick. You know, I just moved house in the spring, and I'd said to a lot of friends, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but, you know, I'll know in September, thinking this sounds a good wheeze of getting out answering questions. But the funny thing was, it really worked, because come September, I had an absolutely just, straight into my head. I knew exactly the idea of the formatting of the book a lot, and off I went.
And off you went. Well, there you go, everybody who's on the show with us tonight. Jan Cavell's book, Scale for Success, is coming out. I'll be making sure you have all of the links back to the book and all of the good places where books are sold, as they say, and also links back to jancavell.co.uk. And with all that being said, Jan, thank you so very much for sharing some
My
time
pleasure,
with me
Rick.
On the My Future Business Show.
It was a privilege. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.